All right, we've covered these two little techniques that can make proving invalidity a lot easier, conditional proof and indirect proof. Now it's time that we learned how to prove that an argument is not valid. Often, arguments offered for things turn out not to be. It's very disappointing, but let's remind ourselves what validity means. Again, it means that if the premises are true, the conclusion must also be true. It means that if it's a valid argument, the premises cannot all be true, and the conclusion be false. That's what you cannot have. If that's the case, the argument's not a valid argument. The conclusion doesn't follow from the premises. So how would you prove that? Suppose someone gives us this argument, and we symbolize it this way, and we get it up on the for consideration. The first thing we have to do is assign the conclusion to be false. We're going to put true and false over each constituent in order to tell whether the entire line is true or false. This says either B is true or C is true, and maybe both. For that to be false, both members of it would have to be false. That's the only thing that will make a disjunction false. To make a disjunct false, you must assign both false. And now that we've assigned the B and C, we have to go up into the premises and assign them again. B and C are false. Now, for the rest, we're left on our own to figure out how to proceed. What we're trying to do is show that lines 1, 2, and 3 can be true while B and C are both false and make up the disjunctive that is the conclusion. So, since C is false in line 2, it doesn't matter whether D is true or false. Line 2 is true. And that's because when we assign an implication, the only thing that will make it false is true false. That's because it says if this is true, this is too. So that's the only thing it claims. So the only thing that can make it false is if this is true and this is not. But if the antecedent isn't true, then there's no way to falsify it. So we have line 2 turns out to be true. What about line 1? We want line 1 to be true also. Can we assign A so that line 1 will be true? Yes. If we assign A to be false, line 1 will turn out to be false. True. I'm sorry. Because, once again, in an implication, the only thing that can make it false is true, false, left to right. False, false is true. False, true is true. True, true is true. Only true, false is false. This is our falsity chart here. For disjuncts, both members have to be false. For implications, if-then statements, it has to be true, false. Of course, we don't have a conjunction in any line up here, but if we had a conjunction, then if either one were false, it would be false. So this is false if one is or the other is. Either one. Because this says they're both true. So if either one is false, that's a false statement. So if we've got A is false here, it has to be false here. And we don't want that line to turn out to be false. So, but is there anything to prevent us assigning D to be true in this line? No, there is nothing. I'm sorry. Stick with the red. That is, D doesn't occur anywhere else where it's committed to be false, so it can be true here. And this line is true. False or true is true. False implies anything is true. False implies false is true. We have assigned the members of this argument so that the conclusion is false and it didn't make us falsify a premise. The premises can all be true while the conclusion is false. Therefore, the argument is not valid. If it were a valid argument and you assigned the conclusion false, it would force you to falsify a premise. I'll give you a chance for that to sink in, and we'll try another example. Again, keep in mind this chart. And let's add the one remaining thing that isn't here, which is P is equivalent to Q. I'm sorry. P is equivalent to Q. That means they both have the same truth value. So if this is true and this is false, it's false. And if this is false and this is true, it's true. Up here, if either this is false or this is false, it's false. So false or false makes this false. True implies false makes this false. Either one false, this is false. True false, false true makes that false. Let's do another one. Okay, what we have to do is start by assigning the conclusion so that the conclusion is false. And there's only one way to do that, true, false. So not J is true, K is false. If K, okay, now let's see what we can do here. Not J is true. Where is there a J? Here's a not J, and it's true. Since this line one is a disjunction, I or not J, only one or the other has to be true for that line to be true. So that line's taken care of. It's true. There are no other J's or not J's, but there are other K's. K is false. Not K, therefore, is true. But the not outside the brackets here is deceiving because it's going to change things. By De Morgan's theorem, if we move this inside, what we get is K or not L. That's De Morgan's of two. Don't ever leave the nots outside the brackets and make the assignments. Put them inside. Use De Morgan's. See what you're really working with. So what you really have in line two is K or not L. K is false. So not L has to be true. All right, now I'll do the same thing with line three. It's equivalent to I or L. I or L. And the not L is true, so L has to be false. But what about I? Is there anything forcing us to make I anything other than true? No, we're free to make it true. So this line, it comes out true or false, which is true. This line comes out false or true, which is true. We don't know or true is true. So we have assigned the conclusion to be false, and all the premises can still be true while the conclusion is false. It's another illustration of an argument which is not valid. The relation of validity does not hold between the premises and conclusion. I'll say it again. If you had to put a valid argument up here and you assign the conclusion false, it will make you falsify a premise. You won't have any choice if you assign consistently. Let's do one more before we drop it, because this is something brand new. It's not just a technique, a quicker, easier way to construct proofs of validity. It's a whole new ball game in constructing proofs that something's not valid. Let's try one that's a little longer. Here we go. S-T-U. Okay, let's see how we do with this. Here we've got an equivalence. S is equivalent to U. S implies U and U implies S. There are two ways to make this invalid. It could be true-false, could be false-true. And it's not the case that if there are two ways, they will both work. Maybe only one will show the invalidity of the argument. So this is a matter of guesswork. My initial guess is going to be to make this true, this false, S false, and U true. And now those aren't equivalent. Because if I do, the S here is false, and that makes this whole line true. And it just, if it works out, it'll be a shorter way to do it. If it doesn't work out, I got to go back and erase them and try another assignment. I don't need to know what those are to know the rest of the line is, that line is true. Well, I've got a true over U. Is there a U anywhere in the other lines? No. No, there isn't. The only thing I have to worry about is the fact that this line's got a not in front of it. So I've got to get rid of that. And by De Morgan's theorem, this becomes not T or not X. One of those has to be true. But look at this. It's now a piece of cake. There's nothing to prevent me from making V also false, so this line is true. T is also false, so this line is true. T being false, not T, is true. And the last line is true also. So it was longer, looked more complicated, looked more daunting. There were two ways this could be falsified, but it turned out to be the easiest one so far. Wow. Let's do one more, okay? Can't hurt. See if we can get one that's harder. Conclusion is a simple categorical statement. there's no other way to falsify it but to put F over not M. Not M is false, M is true, and line one is taken care of. There are no M's or not M's in any of the rest of the lines. So maybe this is going to be an easy one too. But we've got a not outside a bracket, so let's get it inside and see what we're really working with. We're really working with not R and not P. That's what line four comes down to. And both of those have to be true for that line to be true. So I've got to put those down that way. Not R is true, not P is true, and that takes care of the last line. Now, if not R is true here, R over here has to be false. And since we want this line to turn out to be true, we cannot then make Q true. If we do, this line's false. We have to make Q false, and that saves that line. And if Q is false there, it's false here. But then we have no other commitments forcing us to make N or P either true or false. So all we need to do is make N false, and that line is also true. Of course, we know now that since N is false, O would have to be true. But you don't need to put it there. All you need to do is put up enough assignments to tell them what the line is. Assign enough things so that we see that the entire line is true while the conclusion remains false. Would love to ask you if you have any questions, but I can't get an answer. So I hope this is clear. We've had a session now in which we got a technique, conditional proof, that allows us to prove some arguments valid that can't be proven any other way. So anytime the conclusion is an implication, we're going to use conditional proof. We got another technique, which is just often makes things quicker and easier, indirect proof. Write down the denial of the conclusion. If you can generate a contradiction, you're done. You've shown the conclusion follows. And now, proof of invalidity. This is how we show that an argument does not follow. I once had the privilege of talking to the great, very great philosopher, and he had written a magnificent book, a series, four volumes. And I had read them, and I thought I had a pretty good bead on what he was trying to do. And I got to meet him, and I said, I have a problem, though. I mean, I really love what you've done, but there's a difficulty. What's that? And I took a sheet of paper and put down in logical notation, symbolized the main claims in his book, symbolized the main conclusion, and constructed a proof that was invalid, put T's and F's over, and gave it to him. And he said, nobody ever made that criticism before. But it was obvious how to fix it. And we sat and talked about that for quite a bit. And I got to see him many times after that as well. It can be answered. It can be fixed. It's easy. But you have to watch it when you set an argument out. Check that it's valid. I know one morning I was headed to the university to teach a logic class, and I bumped into a man I had known from somewhere else a long time ago, and he said, where are you going? I'm headed into the university there. What are you teaching? Logic. Oh, he said, that was the most useful course I ever had. Here, I said, what do you do now? Oh, I'm vice president of the Philadelphia National Bank. Logic was your most valuable course. He said, look, when I make a presentation before the board of directors of that bank, I don't want to come off looking like a fool. I take my arguments and I symbolize them and I construct the proof they're valid. I know they're valid before I walk in there. Nobody's going to catch me out like that. Good to know. I knew a lawyer one time did that with his cases in court. They sit down with another lawyer and they construct the proofs for every point they were making, make sure they were valid arguments. I'm not saying everybody does this routinely, but I'm saying that in philosophy, Everybody does it routinely because we're constantly being confronted by theory after theory about this, that, and the other. And the theories are brilliant. Sometimes they're ingenious. But do the reasons given really support the conclusions they're given for? That's what we need to be able to tell. And tell you something else. Like that thinker that I had the privilege of meeting and talking with. A lot of times somebody will offer an argument and they'll put the premises down, they'll put their conclusion, and they don't realize that they themselves have a hidden assumption they've never thought about. And when you symbolize the premises and the conclusion, it's an invalid argument. The point of that isn't just to say, ha ha, you made a mistake. That's not it. It's that once you see the premises that the thinker has given, and you see the conclusion that he or she thinks follows, then you can figure out what the missing assumptions are and see that if you add them, then the conclusion does follow. That's what the thinker is assuming. Maybe the thinker isn't aware of his or her own assumptions, but now we can be, and we can deal with the entire real argument with all the reasons that actually go into accepting that conclusion. It opens up the thought processes of another person and lets you inside, so you get to see and appreciate the entirety of the point of view. That's why this stuff's important. I hope you're learning the rules and practicing like crazy. And we'll come back to do another session another time.